Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Katzkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hi, everybody. It's Allison Katzkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care podcast. This is our Tuesday flagship show, and I'm super excited, as always, to be with you, bringing you all the very best in how we actually look after and prioritize ourselves. And today, I'm really excited about my guest. Today, my guest is Chanley Sotoyo, who she and I met at a retreat the end of February this year. It was at another colleague's retreat ranch, my friend Shannon Jamel, who those of you in the audience that listen regularly have heard me talk about Shannon and our friendship. And the retreat where I was, Chanley was also there as a participant. I was not there as a leader. I was there as a participant. I want to be very clear about that. But she and I got to talking, and I invited her to come on and share her brilliance. She is a recovering attorney, the way she likes to call herself, but she is also a coach and a journaling expert. And so what we're going to talk about today is not just the work that she does, which is helping high-functioning, high-achieving women reclaim their power through journaling, but we're going to talk about journaling as an effective tool, because I think there's a lot of people out there who maybe don't understand quite all the good things that you can do with it. So it's great to see you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah, of course. So tell my audience a little bit about you first, about yourself, rather. I mean, I pretty much let the cat out of the bag and said you were a recovering attorney. So tell us a little bit about your story and really how you got into journaling.
Yeah, so I am a mom of two and a wife. I have been journaling since I was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. So over 35 years now, last I counted, I had 77 volumes on my shelf.
Holy cow. Really,
it's just been always my constant companion. I like to think of my journal as my oldest friend and just most trusted place where I could say anything without judgment and leave it there on the page.
Yeah. And you grew up on the West Coast, right? Because you're coming to me from California.
I am now. I've been in California since college, but I actually grew up on the East Coast in Maryland.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, I like to throw that in as well. So, So let's talk for just very general terms about journaling. I think there are a lot of people out there that have their own ideas about what journaling is. And I know I've had people on the show before where we've talked about journaling, but I really haven't had anybody talk about it the way that you teach it. So tell us in your own words what journaling actually is.
Journaling is, for me, the ultimate form of self-care. But for me, I think of it as a window to the subconscious and also as a way to bypass performance. For me, I never... Growing up, I never really used prompts. It was always just a way to download and process feelings from the day and very much a place to be honest, where I could give myself permission to tell the truth and say the words that I would never say to anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, because I do think that a lot of people, you know, and I'm not going to make anybody wrong because everyone has their own practice, right? But I really do think that there's a misconception out there about exactly the purpose of journaling. I think some people just journal for the sake of journaling and just to write things. And maybe it's kind of like, to your point, like what you said, it's a release. But what I really admire about the way that you teach it is that it's focused and for a purpose.
Yeah, for sure. I call it rage journaling. Is it okay if I share?
Rage on the page.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I had journaled for almost my whole life, but then found myself about 15 years ago in a toxic work environment, in the government trial attorney job that I thought I had made it. I thought, okay, my parents will be proud of me. This is the job I'm going to retire in, but developed a lot of chronic pain in my upper extremities from the overwork, from the pressure that I put on myself to be perfect, and also just not having, being a kind of young and naive, not having any boundaries around around being given a lot of work and just never saying no to the workload. And so the pain was very much, I ignored it for a long time. So I would say like I learned self-care the hard way. So
when you say you ignored the pain for a long time, this is just the unhappiness, the resentment, just not really feeling like satisfied in what you were doing. And you just, like so many people, you're just kind of shoving that down and saying, I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to be the good girl and just do the best that I can. Because that's what you're supposed to do.
For sure. I mean, it's completely my upbringing as well. But like just to, I was the oldest daughter of a Taiwanese family.
Yeah.
Very much wanted to do my duty, an overly responsible person as well, personality. And the pain was emotional and physical as well. My body finally shut it down after like a year or two of putting up with pain that had been growing into like from neck down into like numbness in my hands and just weakness. So I was, even though I enjoyed the job intellectually, it was, I couldn't physically perform
like sucking the life out of you, literally.
Yeah. So I, you know, made the very difficult decision and finally realized, learned the hard way, no job is worth my health, decided to retire. And I was only 32, embarked on this whole like nutritional journey, thinking I could heal myself that way. Mm-hmm. And it helped a bit, but then like motherhood took over, like being a new mom in my late 30s was a very hard transition. So there I was with like an infant and like a 3-year-old after having had this pain for 10 years. And it didn't respond really to physical treatments. Like I would have some relief, but the pain always came back. Mm-hmm. I started to suspect that the root cause was emotional. And even though I journaled, I'd never stopped journaling. I never thought to journal in this way. So when I found the mind-body prescription, which is a book about the fact that maybe you do need to think psychological and emotional and look at the root and that we all have what he calls, this doctor calls a reservoir of rage.
Yeah.
And he encourages making lists of things you're angry about. That was when I thought, oh, I've never journaled in this way. And so I really started doing the rage journaling.
The rage on a page is what you called it when we were together in Texas.
Yes.
Yeah, rage on a page with Chanley.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, and for me, it was, you know, really about going back and exploring, well, all things all the resentment and grief and sorrow and sadness and rage that I had swallowed and held back and didn't realize I was carrying in my body somatically. It all came out on the page over a period of about like 4 weeks of doing this, 4 weeks of very dedicated and intentional journaling this way, in the really getting to what is my subconscious trying to tell me, the inner child wounds, and also what, you know, giving myself permission to say anything I needed, because trauma exists outside of time. And so going back to childhood, and you would think that writing about these things might make you feel worse if you focus on those things that you've actually been trying to repress. But
it's actually a way to get them out too. It's actually a way to release them by just not carrying them anymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after doing this for about 4 weeks, I remember just, wow, like it was as if it broke the spell of the pain. I went from feeling like I couldn't lift a gallon of milk without hurting myself to being kind of brave enough to say, well, one, I'm going to take the baby out by myself for the first time. I had this heavy 9-month-old I was breastfeeding and everything, and was able to take the travel stroller out of the trunk by myself, pop it open, lift her out of the, like while she was in the car seat, put it onto the stroller, go for an outing, come home and feeling okay. And wow, like
there's something to this.
There's something to this. And even now, I'm not 100% pain-free even now, but I am free from pain.
Well, and just for people listening, you know, before, I mean, we're not going to like get into medicine and all of that, but for people listening, and, you know, I've had guests on here where we've talked about this before, you know, emotion when you repress it always shows up as some form of stress or tension, you know, and you can always tell, because if you really start noticing tension in certain places in your body that just literally won't go away. You know, emotions are vibrations that we feel in our bodies, right? We don't feel something without thinking something behind it. So I can only imagine, like I didn't know you back then, but I can only imagine that if you're constantly thinking, this job sucks, I don't want to be doing this, I really wish I was doing something else, I don't want to let anybody down, I've had all this education, but I'm not going to worry and deal with that right now. You know, you're continuing to play that on repeat. What happens is you repress all of that in your body. I mean, emotions don't just go away. They have to be expressed somehow. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is that what you're talking about is just the years that you repressed everything. And then you're finally figuring out through doing this journaling that, hey, there's something to this, that this might actually work.
Exactly. That's one thing I realized when I actually tried to articulate. I'm like, okay, how do I articulate this and teach it to others?
Yeah.
That it's the pressure that builds up in all of us, all the words we swallowed every time we've held back and not said what we wanted to say. Every time you hold your voice back, it doesn't go away. Like you said, the pressure builds up. So the rage journaling is the release valve for that pressure, because otherwise that tension turns into all kinds of health issues, chronic illness, disease, like in my case. And so so that is why I'm so passionate also about, you know, it's not just for people with invisible illness and chronic pain, but as it turns out, high functioning, self-silencing, like overachievers, largely women who, you know, look really successful on the outside, but on the inside, there's actually a lot that they're
And really what you're talking about is this, I think we're kind of sold a story as women, particularly, even when we're younger, that we need to just be good girls and go along with, you know, what's going on, right? Let's not make a big fuss. Let's just do what we need to do. Let's just be responsible, be productive. I was the oldest child too growing up, so I can relate to that. But after a while, you know, that story, not only does it not serve you, but it doesn't serve like all the other good and the people that you can actually help. It's kind of a double-edged sword. It's kind of like the bullshit story that I always say we tell ourselves, where it's too selfish to focus on me, I'm going to focus on everybody else. Well, what happens when something happens to you, like what happened to you? Then you can't take care of other people. Then you can't be who you're supposed to be. So that's really what's behind that.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I mean, self-care, self-love has been a hard journey for me. And even though I struggle with sleep and things like that. And so I definitely think that journaling is a great starting point for a lot of people. Like I like to start and end my day with journaling, actually, because it's a continual conversation with yourself. And it's not just like navel gazing. Like, people tell me all the time, I was surprised by what I wrote.
Yeah.
You know, your prompts make me think of things I would never think of otherwise.
Well, let's talk about that next. So before we get into like your actual work and what you do, I want you to kind of walk us through kind of your journaling process. Like, I know you have steps that you take. I know you changed the prompts and all of that, so we don't have to get into that. But I'm just wondering if you can like give us like a general description of like how you approach it.
For myself or the way that I...
Just the way you teach it, like the way you would advise it.
Yeah, because a lot of people come into journaling, even if they've done it before, they've had the practice. A lot of people said, I did it when I was younger and then I stopped. A lot of times because they feel like they need to have perfect conditions for journaling, like it's got to be quiet. They have to have a cup of tea and
anything going on.
The journal's got to be or the journal, even the journal itself, it's got to be a certain way. It's got to be pretty. I have to have like the right pen. All these things.
Yeah.
And so I'm very much just I give them permission to be just unfiltered, raw and messy and honest, and because it's very much just there's no right or wrong way to do it. And so oftentimes I don't have my own journal. I probably should, but that definitely relieves the anxiety right away.
Yeah.
And then
so do you usually advise like a starting point? Like, here's what I would recommend that you start with and then walk us through that process.
Yeah. So there's always an sort of an emotional arc that I lead people through. But the first thing is usually just like the mental dump and what's heavy that you need to set down, the things that you haven't been able to really admit to yourself. What is something heavy that I want to set down right now? And if I were to be completely honest with myself. And that alone, usually, there's a lot of versions of that, like childhood or what in your life has been feeling like, what are you carrying that's not actually yours to carry?
Yeah.
So that's usually the entry point. Mm-hmm. And the prompts are always, I call them doorways or suggestions. People like to use it to start, and then sometimes their writing might take them somewhere else, and that's fine. And then after that part of like, this is the emotional decluttering part. So once people have made space and they feel expansive, then there's always prompts that are designed to help you claim it back. What's the truth that you want to claim back? And that's the empowerment part. Mm-hmm. Where then they write, what's going to replace this new space that I've made for myself? What is actually true? What part of me wants to stand tall? How do I then, fully show up in my life or business after that?
Yeah. So you find it's like, it sounds like it's pretty cathartic for some people, you know, to be able to put on paper something that they haven't said out loud or something that they're struggling with. And then you're kind of like, I finally got it out. And that's a start.
Yeah, for sure. Because, Rage on the Page, I started off by doing workshops. The kinds of things people would say afterward blew me away. I mean, just that even just in like an hour, they felt completely cracked open and were ready to admit things out loud that they had never said out loud before or that, very close family and friends know. And so that is the moment where I realized, okay, I really have something here. And that it's not just about sitting alone in a room and journaling by yourself. That's something that I could do.
Yeah.
For sure, because I've done it all my life. But my clients are always like, you'd think I could do this by myself, but they don't trust themselves to do it on their own.
I also think that we just do better when we have support, when we have accountability. I mean, human beings just are not good at follow-up. We're just not.
Yeah.
That's why we go so much further when we have coaches and when we have people to support us. We just do.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell us then a little bit about how you work. Like, you do journaling circles, you do private coaching too, I'm assuming. I mean, what does working with Shaylee look like when we're journaling? Like, do you, like, walk us through your process, like how you do that?
Yeah, so I have small intimate groups of women, and these are it's always done live. So I do a mixture of storytelling and teaching about and setting the stage for the prompts that I'm going to present. And then the prompts are always accompanied by music. And there's, depending on the length of the call, the protected writing time could be anywhere from like 20 minutes to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We write. And then the magic really is afterwards in the witnessing time. Mm-hmm. Sharing is always optional. I mean, just their presence alone being there is the medicine. But anybody who wants to say, and even if it's just a word or a sentence, something they released, some people read from their journals, other people just say what they realized or what they released.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the group witnesses them. And I always say, this is not a time for coaching, fixing, or advising at all.
Yeah. Just let it be, in other words. Just let it be.
Yeah. And so I wasn't prepared at all for how powerful that time was. Because that for some women who have worked with me is the truly transformational time where they feel truly seen and heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the first time in their lives, they're like validated.
Yeah.
Not crazy.
Well, I also think that I think that's a really good point to bring up, because I think that it's our tendency to want to go fix something when something's wrong. You know, we write out, finally, we're writing something that we've been struggling with, right? I'm making this up, but let's just paint a picture for people listening. We're writing something out that's been bothering us for a while. We finally acknowledge it. We get it out so that we're not letting it fester and sit inside of us, right? And we feel a huge sense of relief. But then what do we want to do? We want to go into fix-it mode after that. Like, well, what am I going to do to make sure this doesn't happen again? Or what am I going to do to learn from this? Or what am I going to do to make myself better? There's no like just sitting with it and just letting it be what it is.
Exactly. I like how you're naming, like, it's that pause, right?
It is. Yeah. Totally.
The safe container that, so, you know, I've just started my third cohort, but what it looks like is it's a small group of women that's a closed container for those 6 weeks that we write together. And so over those 6 weeks, the friendship and the trust that develops is like no other, because you're in a small community of other, you know, truth tellers finding their path. And so I think, because if we were to do it on our own, yeah, we would rush off to the next thing.
Yeah.
But because, you know, we're there holding space with each other, there is a nervous system exhale, then that becomes
possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you say then for people listening who maybe just need a little encouragement to start? I always love asking my guests this question, because I always want people listening to walk away with something they can use like today. And for the person who maybe isn't ready to start journaling on a regular basis like you do, or like you teach, but maybe they're thinking, you know what, I've tried this before and it really didn't work, but I'm willing to maybe look at it again. Like, I'm just wondering if you could offer a couple of tips or pieces of advice or something that might be helpful.
Yeah, the main thing is just to be honest and trust that the page can hold whatever it is that you know you want to say.
Yeah.
I think we all know deep down, like, what's really bothering us.
Yeah.
And what we need to let go of.
Yeah.
And so trust yourself and trust your story. Trust that also, you know, you can give yourself permission and you can reconnect with your voice in that way. And so, you know,
and also too, I think it's important to mention that, you know, that you're not going to be judged, you know, that you don't have to share it with anybody if you don't want to, you know, that's the beauty of it, is that that's where it can feel like a safe space, to your point.
Yeah, exactly. And whether you handwrite or type, I mean, I'm biased toward handwriting, because it's somatically like just the mind hand.
It slows your brain down too. Yeah.
It's so strong, and just literally the pen will help move your emotions out of your body and your mind onto the page, trusting that it's the most private and consequence-free way to rage.
Yeah.
To let out your pain and your feelings, because nobody else ever has to see it.
Yep.
But what you'll feel so much better once what's in here is now on the page. And that's also one of the rituals we do at the end of every circle and workshop, is hand on heart, hand on page, and breathing through it and trusting that, you know, the page is your safe container and your friend.
I like that. I like that. That's a very different way to put it. I really haven't heard it explained like that before. How can people reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. It's my name. You can search my name. And also, I have a website called Rage on the Dot Page.
They can come on the Dot Page. Okay.
Yeah, and I would love. I have a. They can go on there, and my current cohort is full. But if they would like to get, I do have a special downloadable.
Okay. Perfect.
With 3 prompts. So journey prompts that they can.
So can people go to your website and get that then? Like Rage on the Page? And
yes.
There?
So you can get that PDF and also join my early bird waitlist for the next circle.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll make sure all of that is in the show notes for anyone listening. So if you're thinking that you may want to give journaling a try, or maybe you're just curious and you want to see what this Rage on the Page is all about, then you can just grab the link in the show notes and take advantage of the free gift. Always good to see you. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So like I said, for all of you listening, there's a lot of really good stuff in here. There's a lot of really good practical tips. And I know that a lot of people, at least a lot of people that I talk to, some people journal and love it, and some people just don't really have any use for it and say it's not for them. But I believe there's more than one way to do something. There's often several ways that you can do something. So this may be something that you want to think about, particularly if there's something you're really struggling with and you're not quite sure like the best way to tackle it. I think knowing that your page where you write is your companion is a really comforting thought. So maybe that could be a good place for you to begin. And on that note, if what we talked about today was helpful for you, and you have someone that you know that you think would benefit from hearing this episode, please feel free to copy the link to this episode. I don't know where you're listening to me from, but we're pretty much everywhere. We're on every major platform. Copy the link and send it to your friend or your family member or your loved one as a free gift from me. Or if you like, you can write to me on my site, which is www.theallisonk.com. I spell my name with one L, so it's theallisonk.com. And just connect with me and let us know where you would like this to go. And my team or myself, one of us will make sure that we take care of this for you. So thank you for always listening and supporting us, for helping us spread our message. We really do appreciate all of you, whether you're listening today for the first time or you've been following us for the duration. We do consider you part of the family, and we are grateful for all of you. This is Allison Katzkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life, so make it a good one.